Yesterday was the conclusion of the week-long event, America Reads the Bible. I remember we had the creator of that event here on the show last time. I hope you were motivated and spent some time watching the event as it streamed live. And more importantly, hope you read along with what was going on. By the way, if you missed it, the entire event is archived over at PureFlix.com. That's F-L-I-X, PureFlix.com. According to the American Bible Society, only 11% of Americans read the Bible daily, while 34% read it at least once a week. Lifeway research found that 17% of Americans have read the entire Bible at least once. So that creates, I think, a rather important question. If you want to live according to God's Word and know His will, how is that possible if you don't read the instructions? It's kind of like putting a gas grill together. Without reading the instructions, you wind up with the pieces you forgot to do something with. When you go to light it, either nothing happens or it blows up in your face. It is absolutely positively impossible to be a faithful child of God without knowing the Word of God. Yeah, His Word is that valuable and that vital. That's why we read this in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God stands forever. Psalm chapter 19, verses 7 through 11 brings even greater understanding of the Word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. When the Word of God is absent, how will you battle the temptations of Satan that you will be facing? And you will be facing temptations. Being tempted isn't a sin, by the way. Giving in to temptation, that's the sin. Let's go to the way this truth is, I think, best proven. We find that in the fourth chapter of Luke, where Satan tries to tempt Jesus. Satan says this to Jesus in verse 3, "And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.'" Jesus replies with this in verse 4, "But Jesus answered him, saying, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.'" Verses 6 and 7 have Satan saying this to Jesus, "And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours.'" He meant every kingdom in the world. Jesus responds with this in verse 8, "And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" In verses 9 through 11, Satan actually tries to corrupt God's word in order to tempt Jesus. Check this out. "Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" In that instant, Satan's actually quoting from Psalm 91. But Jesus turns to the truth of God's word in verse 12, declaring, "And Jesus answered and said to him, 'It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" Jesus, in all three of those instances, was quoting, by the way, from the book of Deuteronomy, specifically chapter 8, verse 3, chapter 6, verse 16, and chapter 6, verse 13. That brings up another very important truth. No part of God's word features an expiration date. The Old Testament, for numerous reasons, is needed for a full understanding of the New Testament. This is why Paul writes this in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." When we read the latest book by a favorite author and get to that last page, what do? We either put the book on the shelf, or if it's an e-book, in a folder for saving and wait for their next book. God's Word has, for now and forever, only one book that you need to read. Of course, the Bible. The actor Hugh O'Brien told me one time the story about how he went to Africa to spend time with the great humanitarian Albert Schweitzer, spent a few weeks watching up close the work Schweitzer was doing helped out, spent time talking with this great man. When it was time for Hugh to leave, come back to the States, as Schweitzer walked him to the plane, he said to Hugh, "So, Hugh, what are you going to do with all this?" Meaning, how are you going to take what you've experienced and turn it into good works? When he came back to America, Hugh launched the Hugh O'Brien Youth Foundation, which helps teens develop a path for their lives. And that organization continues its work today as part of Hugh's legacy. So my question to you after you read the Bible is, what are you going to do with all of this? James chapter 1, verse 22 addresses the doing requirement. Reading here, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." As you would expect, I hope, the Bible provides you with the answers. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 gives us this: "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." We get this guidance from Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 gives us these instructions: "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now, you might think you can fake it, try to fool people, take shortcuts, do more deeds in the darkness than in the light. If that's you, let me be the one to tell you that God has already spotted and tagged you. Your truth is exposed in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him."